everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad that you've joined us.
Wonderful to be back another weekend here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Great. I'm glad you're always here.
I've got my charm turned up.
You do?
Yes. Have you ever noticed how when someone can, they walk into a room full of strangers, and they leave with five new friends, and they've got a dinner date and a promise to get together again. How does this happen?
I know, right? Right? There are people like that. But some people have to work, I think, Chris, really hard, don't you,
right. Mm-hmm.
To get those kind of results. Some people probably never get those kind of results, if we're honest about it, right?
Definitely.
But for some people, it's like you said, it just seems like it's effortless. Now, can you think of somebody? Does somebody come to mind when we think of somebody who could do that?
I've just got friends who, like you said, it's so effortless for them to walk into a completely different environment. And they're chatting away, yes.
So I'm thinking James Bond.
Yeah.
I think he's one of those people who could do that. And then my daughter, who is actually helping us produce the show today, mm-hmm. Katie, would definitely say Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah.
One Direction. So she thinks he has that ability to walk in a room and get everybody to kind of be engaged with him.
Right. You know, Matthew McConaughey's like that.
You think so?
You just sort of like him.
Really?
Not that I've met him.
I don't
him,
like him in those car commercials, though. Those are strange. But, you know, those kind of people, you just want to be around them, right?
Right. Well, we call those people, like I said a minute ago, they're charmers. And today we're going to look at the science behind becoming a charmer. And Dr. Linda, can you break it down? What does it mean to be charming?
We've kind of talked a little bit about what we see in people mm-hmm. who are charming, right? But it simply means, really, if we're just going to the basics here, you have to be likable and people want to be around you. They mm-hmm. want to interact with you. And, you know, it's that same kind of feeling when you come away from a meeting and you think, wow, that person was interesting. That person was fun. There was something about them. I think that's what charm is. And it can be spontaneous, Chris. It could be not just, you know, somebody that you know very well, but you could have a moment. And I think a lot of times I see that with small children.
Right.
I think sometimes they're just charming is kind of a word. Mm-hmm. And I even think, now you're going to laugh, I think dogs can be charming.
Oddly enough.
You do too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
we're
yeah.
good on that right. one. We're good on that one.
They can bring personality into a situation too.
I think they can. So we're talking about this incredible ability to be liked and mm-hmm. to people to interact with you and want to be around you.
Are we talking about charisma?
Well, I think it's similar. Most of us can kind of look at somebody and say, ooh, that's a charismatic person. And I'm not talking in the spiritual sense there, but mm-hmm. just a person with a lot of charisma. We look at those people and we go, I'm not really sure why. I just feel that way around them, right? So charisma, if we look at sort of definitions, it's the ability to positively influence others by connecting with them. So that's real similar to what we're talking about with charm. People with charisma have a sort of personal magnetism. They're usually very self-confident. They're usually optimistic. They tend to look at a problem and say, we're going to solve that. And they usually encourage other people to look forward as well. And they take things that are maybe a little bit fearful to people, but they say, you know what, that's a good challenge. So they're very uplifting to be around. You want to be around people with charisma.
On the opposite side of that, maybe you can explain this. I think sometimes some people can be so self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. They know they're being funny. And they have this end of the world routine, but it's so engaging, and they are so much fun to be around.
Don't you think that's comedians?
Story of my life type of stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Right. I think that's like comedians. Mm-hmm. I think that's when we would laugh at a Robin Williams or something. They do that self-deprecating kind of thing, and it's funny.
And charm can have its benefits, especially in business, and we're more likely to build professional and personal relationships and do business with people that we like.
That's really true. So this is a good skill to have. The first thing, though, that people judge you on, guess what? Do they judge you on your interpersonal skills when they first meet you? Probably not. The first thing they do is they judge you on the way you look, unfortunately.
Right.
So there's a psychologist, a psychology professor at Princeton, who found that once you see someone's face, now listen to this. This is wild. It takes less than a tenth of a second, less than a tenth of a second to make a judgment as to whether or not that person is likable, trustworthy, or competent. Less than a tenth of a second. And they've
really
done these studies over and over. They show pictures of all kinds of people, and they say, you know, what do you think of that person? And constantly it has to do with this.
Facial appearance is part of charm as well. And there's a study that says facial appearance can be used to predict, now get this, the outcome of elections to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. And they actually did several studies that not only the U.S. Senate, but they mm-hmm. also looked at elections in other places as well. So places like Bulgaria and France and Mexico and Brazil, they had this same kind of outcome. So just looking at the facial characteristics of a candidate, they can predict elections. I was reading one study where five-year-olds, they gave them to five-year-olds, and they just had five-year-olds point to the pictures that they like. Mm-hmm. And they accurately predicted which of those people were going to win elections just by their appearance.
But it doesn't seem quite fair because we can't exactly control the physical features of our face.
That's right. So here's the thing. This is the great part of it. The brain does have a lot of areas in it that processes the face. That's probably one of the reasons why it happens so quickly, because the brain is kind of geared to that. But you can actually change the way people think about you, and you can actually become charming by doing some other things. Mm-hmm. So this is the good news. If you alter your expressions and you smile, that's going to be two things that really, really make a difference. Here's what the research says, Chris. If a face becomes happier, so if you smile and you look engaging, it also becomes more trustworthy. Huh. So just smile away at people, and they'll perceive you as a trustworthy, as a winner, as sociable.
Well, see, I've got a very, very round face, so people just think I'm a basketball.
Oh, but if you're smiling, they're going to want, they're going to think you're trustworthy.
A happy basketball.
A happy basketball.
Well, what if we don't make a good impression the first time? Are we doomed?
No, you can really get into this, and you can really change a negative impression that somebody might have about you. So the one thing that you can do is, as soon as they start getting more good information about you, that begins to change the impression that they make. So we're saying that there's a really quick impression that people make, but you can change that impression over time.
So even though they may not look like the way that I look, and they say the guy looks like a basketball.
A charming one who's smiley, as you recall.
He looks like such a charming basketball. I can quickly get them to change their mind. How do I do that?
Well, you can. You got to have great social skills. That's part of charm when we look at charm. If you have good business social skills in business, you're going to do better in business. Think about how often in business you have to work on teams, you have to work with other people.
Right.
So smiling, we're talking about that right now. We're going to go into more of the science in a little bit. But smiling and being able to have some social skills, those are two big things that help you engage with people in a charming way.
And it matters in the workplace, too.
It does.
Well, it sounds like being charming works in all aspects of life. More on this fascinating topic when we return on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
The other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we want to remind you to follow Dr. Linda on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps, and on Instagram, Dr. Linda Mental, and on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. And Dr. Linda, you tweet before each show with some great nuggets related to the topic. And speaking of the topic, let's get back to the topic of being charming.
So Chris, we have a millennial that's producing us today.
Right.
And she happens to be my daughter, Katie Mental. But Katie, let's get your take on what is it about Harry Styles that you feel makes him charming?
Well, I do want to say it's not just me that feels this way. It is basically the entire world, unless you're crazy.
It.
But
it's true, they're big, aren't
they? No, I've actually read articles on like scientific reasons why Harry Styles is charming and why it's like his face. So whatever the facial proportions, the facial proportions.
Symmetry?
Yeah.
The symmetry.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. But every single interview, which I've watched many, people say he just commands a room. When he comes in, he shakes everyone's hands. Mm. He's always respectful. He's always smiling, which you were talking about. And, you know, the dimples probably help a little bit and the curly hair.
Right.
Can't really beat that. But he is just a charming person. He makes eye contact with you. But it's just all these characteristics he does with the eye contact, the smiling, the charm, his style, you know, the way he presents himself and the confidence. So it's not just me.
Those are great characteristics that you're describing, because as we get into this, we've already talked about the facial characteristics, the smiling, and she mentioned a number of them that are coming up too that are part of that. So she's right on target here.
Well, we mentioned in the first segment that I've got a round basketball face. I doubt he does.
No, he's got, well, she was saying it's more chiseled, I think.
More chiseled,
yeah,
right.
Not a basketball, for sure.
Let's move on and stop talking about me.
and Harry Styles.
That's right. Well, Dr. Linda, what do we need to know to learn more about being charming?
So Jeff Hayden is a person who wrote a piece for Inc. magazine, and he says that charming people are often willing to show a little bit of vulnerability.
Mm, that is true.
Do you think that's charming?
I think
to
so.
To show some vulnerability?
Right. Makes you human.
Yeah, it does.
And I think it means that we like people better when they acknowledge a few flaws.
Yeah. So when people are vulnerable, it's just what you said. You connect a little bit easier with them because you can relate to them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know in dating relationships, when you look at the research on dating, a lot of times women like men who show that kind of vulnerability. They don't want this guy who's always acting like there's nothing wrong, because then they feel like they can kind of get into his life and be a part of that. They understand the person a little bit better. It's almost like they care enough about me that they're going to let me into their life, and I can get closer to the person that way. So it is one of those things that will ramp up desire. If you're trying to get somebody interested in you, that's a good way to be charming.
Hmm. And maybe be, like we mentioned earlier, a little self-deprecating. Make a joke about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I've noticed is that charming people seem to give compliments too.
Yes, and they often compliment other people. They're often impressed by other people. So in addition to sort of admitting that weakness, what you'll find with someone who's charming is that they find the positives in other people, and they actually point them out.
Right.
Would you be charmed by that?
Of course.
Somebody's pointing out the things that they like about you and complimenting you?
As a matter of fact, with some people, you eventually say, okay, stop.
You do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do that.
Right. Well, it does feel good to receive a compliment, especially one that you know is actually sincere. And that's a big contrast to people who are always bragging about themselves.
Yeah. And I think that's why it draws you in, because instead of bragging about their accomplishments, what charmers do is they often ask other people, they'll say things like, tell me about that, or how did you do that? And they're not afraid to say, look, I don't know everything, and I'm really interested in what you're doing. And then when it's genuine and they seem like they really want to meet you, they seem like they're very interested in one of the characteristics that Katie mentioned is the eye contact. Mm. So making eye contact and asking you a lot of questions about how you do something is really part of the charm.
What about the power of touch? Is that a part of charm?
So non-sexual touch is what we're talking about here.
Right.
It's very powerful. Just think about if you're congratulating somebody on a job, or you're wanting to tell somebody that you really appreciated something that they did. If you, you know, sort of pat them, or you put your arm on them, or you, you know, touch them on the shoulder, that kind of thing. Touch can really reinforce the sincerity of your words. So that nonverbal with the things that you're saying, those compliments, again, people who are charming know how to do this. Now, I want to say something, Chris, about this, because we're not trying to teach you how to manipulate people.
Right.
Or to become a flatterer, which we'll talk about in the last section. But we're really just trying to say that there's a reason why. And when you heard Katie's list of sort of about Harry Styles, what was charming to her about him, it really fits a lot of this science of when you study people who are charming, these are the kinds of things that they do. So you can learn to do these if that's something you want to do. You want to be more likable. You want people to interact with you more often. You want to get along with other people. These are helpful tips.
We've talked about eye contact, you know, the power of touch and complimenting. There are other ways that this can be done.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting to look at the FBI. So I found these tips sort of from the FBI.
From the FBI about being charming?
Well, think about it. What FBI agents have to do is they have to get people to talk to them, right?
True.
They have to get information from people. So again, I'm not saying we should do this to be manipulative like that. But if you look at what they do, there was an FBI agent who's also a psychologist who wrote a book called The Like Switch, L-I-K-E, The Like Switch, not the light switch. And in the book, he looks at the life of Johnny Carson. And I don't know how much of our audience remembers Johnny Carson. Some of them might be too young for him, but he was the host of The Tonight Show for years and years and years. And what was so interesting about him, and this is what this FBI agent studied, is that he was an introvert. Right. He really preferred to be alone, but he learned how to turn on the charm when the camera came on. And there are a lot of actors who learn how to do that. So he was an introvert who trained himself to be an extrovert.
It makes you wonder why, if he was naturally an introvert, why he was drawn to a career that required him to be an extrovert.
Yeah, I know. I always think about that. So they're on stage, and there something happens when they get on that stage that sort of draws something out of them.
Well, the thing about Johnny Carson is you would never know this about him, but when the camera came on, he was smiling and laughing and then, of course, making jokes. But what you're saying isn't his natural state.
It wasn't his natural state. It wasn't. Right. So that's hopeful to us.
Right, definitely. It seems funny to take advice from a former FBI agent about this. But I guess they do need to be charming to get information out of people, which is what you said a little bit ago. Give us a few more ideas from Schaefer's book.
So here's the one we have to practice, Chris. So he said, you got to flash those eyebrows. Can you flash your eyebrows? I know we're on radio. People can't see
this. Did you just do it?
I flashed my eyebrows. So that's a nonverbal sign that you're not a threat to someone. So he gives the specifics. Quick up and down. Yeah, then you got it. You got it. They can't see it. We're going to put that on Instagram
so people can see that.
So a quick up and down movement of the eye, eyebrow that shows, and it lasts about a sixth of a second. So again, it's one of those very quick things that you do.
You mentioned the 1/10 of a second earlier.
I know, so for the facial judgment.
Right, so you have to get the eyebrow flash in before that 1/10 of a second.
So see if you can do it.
I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, we'll do it on Instagram. So here's what you do. If you don't smile, though, you just look weird if you're flashing your eyebrows.
Right,
so think about it. So you have to put this all together. So here's what he suggests. You smile. You do a little flash of the eyebrow, and then you tilt your head.
Okay.
Try that three things. Can you do it?
No. Smile. I'm not that coordinated.
We're going to practice after the show. So you got to smile, though. Otherwise, you're going to be weird, not charming.
Right.
So pour on the charm.
I'll try that. Flash my eyebrows, tilt my head, and then smile. Okay, now what?
I'm going to be watching for this in church when you come into church and see if you're going to be charming.
Right. Once I accomplish that,
okay,
what's next?
So now I'm not sure you're ready to go on to the next step, but we'll keep moving on this. So the key then is to make the whole interaction about the person, not you. So now you've got this sort of nonverbal stuff going on. You're smiling, and then you got to make the person feel good about themselves so that they feel good about you. So you have to be genuine in this, of course. We're not going to be like the FBI and try to manipulate for information. But you want to really be genuine. And if you're genuinely interested in somebody and you approach them this way, that combination of the nonverbal and then interest is going to make a difference.
We're coming up on a break, Dr. Linda, but let's squeeze this in really quickly. I've noticed that when people are genuinely interested in what I'm saying, that makes me like them more. So I guess that's part of being charming.
It is, and that's why we want to ask a lot of open-ended questions.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and we do need to go to a break. When we return, we'll talk more about the science of being charming right after this.
The other night, I had an interesting conversation with friends at dinner. We were talking about the idea that Bible stories were not just nice stories, but they were there to help us relate to difficulties when they come. Now, I know this wasn't exactly a new thought. I know we know this. But how often do we think about what we are going through and actually place our life stories in the context of those Bible stories? So here's what we did. We took turns and we related a current issue that we were each having to a specific Bible story. Then we used those stories to encourage one another. So for example, one of my friends had a relationship with his boss that felt a lot like David's relationship with Saul. One moment the boss was praising him and giving him assignments. The next moment, the fiery spears would fly. Like David, he trusted God for his tomorrow. He often wondered about the timing of God's intervention, but trusted that God was working on his behalf and the plans God had for him were good. Another friend related to Joseph. She was in a job, unappreciated, and felt thrown to the side while others ascended and were promoted. She could really relate to being in the prison of neglect and rejection, hoping and praying that the king, the boss, would remember her and release her from false charges that caused the rejection. Like Joseph, she believed God would restore what was lost. By the end of the dinner, we were laughing and smiling. Life may have thrown us a few curves, but we were determined to react to those curves like the people of faith who went before us. So the next time you need a little encouragement, hey, grab that Bible storybook and think about the lessons we teach our children. Those stories aren't just for kids. They can really encourage us too.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's show is about the science of being charming. And if you'd like to read more about this and Dr. Linda's other blogs, you can go to her website, drlindamental.com. And Dr. Linda, when I think of a charming person, one of the things I notice is that they are great with names.
They are. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing skill to me that people can be so good with names and even remember small details, almost to a surprising degree with
right.
some people. And the fact that they instantly remember your name and details about you just makes ourselves feel better. Don't we just feel better?
It depends.
When somebody does that, really? Does it creep you out?
If they put it on too thick, it can be like, okay, that's a little much. But you're right. If they can remember just a little about you, it does make, they are more endearing to you for sure.
Yeah. And so there's that difference of knowing your name versus name dropping, which is one of the things that really turns a lot of people off. So I think it's interesting, and I don't know what to make of this, but in scripture, that there's a scripture that says God calls us by name.
Wow.
So the very personal way that God calls us by name is maybe part of the charm of God when you think about it.
You know, we've mentioned this throughout the show, but I think an element of charm is humor. Making people laugh often makes them feel, you know, less stressed and more relaxed.
I think for me, that's a really big part of it. I'm always attracted to people who are funny and can make me laugh. And charmers, you know, do use humor. I don't like sarcastic humor. That doesn't charm me. I don't like those comics that just rip people apart and say awful things. But when somebody's truly funny, I think it's really fun.
We've touched so many areas of being a charmer. What other tips do you have?
Well, I think one of the real important things is that if you make empathetic statements to people, if you reflect what they say, and so it shows that you're really interested, that you really care, that you're connecting with their feelings, I think those are really good things to do as well.
You said to compliment people earlier. Is that the same as flattering? Because here's why I ask. If you look at Psalm 12:3, it says, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts.
Whoa, cut them off.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad we live in the New Testament?
That is a good point.
But that is a pretty strong statement. So I think what that scripture is talking about is flattery. It has a lot to do with just smooth talking, manipulating people, which is very different from genuinely being interested in people. So let people flatter themselves and let them kind of do that for themselves and let them tell you interesting things. But don't use flattery to manipulate, because we see right there in scripture, and there are other scriptures that talk about this as well, that you're not supposed to move to that part of it.
Changing the subject just a little bit, what about a boss or a coworker who has so many different opinions and you don't find them charming at all? They're frustrating. Can you turn that around?
Yeah. So here's one of the keys about being someone who's charming. They find common ground. Mm. So when you're dealing with people with a lot of difference of opinions, look for some common ground, go with it. It's a point of connection. And if a disagreement comes up, just listen a lot, and you still might find some little part of that that you can agree with. And that makes you likable again to people.
What about walking away?
You can do that too, but I don't know how charming you'll be if you do that.
So charming people don't necessarily avoid others is what you're saying then.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed that charming people don't seem to lack things to talk about, and the conversation just flows.
So what helps if you're going to go to some event, like say like you're kind of scared and you want to be somewhat charming, you know, in the work setting, you want to make sure that you're making a good impression, it really helps to keep up with current events, to sort of understand whatever the industry you're is, what their news is, look for those commonalities again with people, try to connect, or just really listen, and you might find something in the moment that connects you. So a lot of times I'll say something, I'll ask people where they're from, and I'll go, oh, you're from Michigan. And then I'll put up my hand, which you can't see, but this is a Michigan thing where we put up our hand in the shape of the state.
Right.
And then people point from the thumb on. You know, if you're by the thumb, you're over there by Detroit.
Yeah.
And I'm over here by the lake where I grew up. So we do that. It's kind of a fun thing. It's one of those points of commonality, and it's kind of a charming gesture.
Well, Dr. Linda, tell us about the Hansel and Gretel technique.
So this is the art of conversation that you can read about, and this is part of charm. So we all know the story of Hansel and Gretel and how they dropped the crumbs along their journey so people would know where they went, right?
Right.
So the conversation has to be like dropping breadcrumbs. You release a little bit of information at a time to the person you want to charm. This builds up a little bit of interest rather than overwhelming people with too much facts. Have you ever had that kind of conversation where somebody's just coming at you like a freight train and you're
right.
kind of like, oh, you're kind of overwhelmed.
And they're nervous.
Usually. They're nervous. Mm-hmm. And they're it's usually an anxiety issue.
Yeah.
But if you just reveal little pieces about yourself and make the other person a little bit curious about you, that person will perceive you as being charming.
So getting people to talk about themselves and revealing bits and pieces of ourselves are parts of the charm.
They are. Well, we're going to move along here, Chris, to mm-hmm. talking a little bit about some nonverbal things that you can do. One thing is to mirror their reactions. So mm-hmm. that's another little charming tip that we can give people. If someone's crossing their arms, you might want to cross their arms. It seems to make people comfortable. But here's the thing. We want to really get into the end of the show by saying, if you don't feel charming, And we're not saying that you have to be charming, but mm-hmm. if you really want to work on this skill, there's hope. So you can spend time with people, and as people get to know you, and if you're a likable person, they will begin to see you. You actually begin to change your opinion of somebody when you spend time with them.
Well, Dr. Linda, as we near the end of the show here, the bottom line is, based on what we've said, Christians should be charming.
And here's the thing. Charming people don't just talk the talk. They back up their words with actions. So anyone can say that they're going to do something, but charming people, Chris, actually follow through with real actions. Mm-hmm. That's charming. They back up their promises with deeds in order to show that they're just not out to further themselves. They want to do what's best for all the people around. So in the scriptural way, their yes is yes and their no is no.
And you know, as you read through the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus had to have been incredibly charming because people were always drawn to him.
Yeah, you would think that that would be the case, right? Of course, he was the Son of God.
Right.
So that has to be the best charm of all. And he was interacting with people on a daily basis, and people were following him. I'm sure we don't have video of Jesus, but we could imagine that he was making eye contact. Certainly, he was genuine. He was interested in others. He was serving and being a man of his word. So as we imitate Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in us will draw people to us. So our true charm is being a child of God and having his Spirit in us. So that's really what we want for each person who is following Christ. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Caitlin Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show always a conversation. And from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.